Good evening, everyone. Thank you for those who have called in to join us this evening. I always so enjoy the opportunity to learn together, whether it be the chavrusa with people in shul, shiurim, or the shiurim that we offer over the phone, that, of course, loses the feeling of intimacy, but still is just very meaningful to be able to interrupt our daily schedule and to share and to reflect on the words of Torah. I had asked yesterday in shul for feedback about good topics or a good topic that relates to either sports or the Super Bowl or specifically this Super Bowl, and I was gratified by the quantity and the quality of people's responses. Of course, there was a hefty $5 reward on the line, but just a lot of really good ideas, which Mir Tashem we can implement this year and in future years. And the topic we chose to speak about is something that we're actually going to break down into two parts, one part now and one part either next year or sometime down the road, and namely whether or not it is halachically, legally, and also hashkafically, which means more philosophically, whether it would be appropriate for a person to be a professional football player or perhaps other sports like football. Obviously, the first area to even think about is the issue that, let's say, if a person wanted to make it to the NFL, would there be issues of Chilul Shabbos involved in playing college football or the games are on Shabbos? Okay, so of course that is an issue. And there's another issue also, which is something that, as I said, we're going to talk about down the road, namely whether it's mutter for a person to place themselves in a position where they know or they can pretty much assume that they're placing themselves to makom sakana, in a dangerous situation. And the more research that's done about the nature of concussions and the common occurrence of concussions, or a person just damaging themselves, injuring themselves, doing something that poses a great physical risk to themselves, which football and other sports, and maybe even other sports that some of us play, is going to run the risk of that physical danger, is that mutter? Is it mutter to place oneself in that type of physical danger, even if the danger is not life-threatening? So that's certainly something that we've discussed before in different contexts and do so again. But what I want to discuss for the next few minutes is not so much related to the legal issue of whether or not a person can, go throwing themselves into a 300-pound, behemoth or not, but really the hashkafic issue, which is probably much more relevant to all of us who are not going to be having careers as professional football players. What do I mean by the hashkafic, the philosophic issues that are involved? So what I mean really has to do with the following. So a very famous idea mentioned by the Sefer Chinuch in this past week's parsha, Parshas Bo, and the Sefer Chinuch discusses why it is that we have so many different mitzvot that relate to the bringing of the Karban Pesach, so many different positive mitzvot and negative mitzvot. Why couldn't we just sort of combine everything into one mitzvah? How do we understand so many of the different specific aspects of this obligation of bringing the Karban Pesach? So the Chinuch said, the Sefer Chinuch, once again, was written by someone in the time of the Middle Ages. We're not sure who wrote it. It was written anonymously as a book to be left for his child, but we don't know, again, who wrote it. So Sefer Chinuch said that as Bnei Israel were leaving the land of Egypt, the goal was to create an Am Kadosh. The goal was to create a sanctified holy nation and to create a nation of a fineness, an inner fineness, an inner ethics, a adinut, a refinement. It's a nation that's supposed to develop inner impulses and feelings of sanctity and of decency. And the Chinuch said that the only way to do that is not by philosophizing, it's not by giving mussar, it's not by teaching, it's not by telling people what to do, it's not through instruction. But the way of developing the inner life of a person is going to be through action and through mitzvos and repetitive action of a meaningful maisa, meaningful behavior over and over and over again in many different ways. So said the Chinuch, that is the only way that a person develops the necessary, refined inner world of a person. Again, it's not through instruction, it's through action. And through that action, said the Chinuch, is a very famous principle that he established in many places, namely called Acharei HaPa'ulos Nimshachos HaLevavos, that a person's heart follows the vagaries and follows the feelings based on the actions. The heart follows the actions. And therefore, again, if a person wanted to instruct their children or students or grandchildren, you don't sit around just philosophizing about Judaism and ethics. You say, do the following 20 actions. Do those repeatedly over the course of many times and many years. And that's the way that a person develops that inner world. We see this in the Chinuch time and time again in many different contexts. For instance, a Chinuch that I'm very fond of because even with the changing standards of the world, and even with casual dress codes for work, I'm still a believer in people dressing a certain way, both when it comes to davening, when it comes to work, when it comes to leaving a certain impression. And the Chinuch said that, let's say, by the issue of the Big Day Kahuna, of why the Kohanim had to wear certain types of clothing, so the Chinuch said something that we probably are very familiar with, namely that you wear certain types of clothing that affects a change inside of a person's heart and soul and thinking. If I put on certain type of clothing, so my inner life responds to the demands of Kedusha and of sanctity. And again, we see that concept repeatedly. There's a very famous idea along the same lines of the Noda B'Yehuda. Noda B'Yehuda was the great 18th century Acharon from Prague. The Noda B'Yehuda was one of the most important and prolific religious personalities of the last 500 years. The Noda B'Yehuda has a fascinating tshuva about the issue of whether or not a Jew can be a hunter or not. Can a Jew hunt animals? And the Noda B'Yehuda first goes through on a halachic level, is that a problem about tashchis, of wasting? And he said, no, it's not an issue about tashchis. Is it a problem of tsar bali chayim, of causing pain to an animal? He said, no, if you're killing an animal, it's not tsar bali chayim. So is there anything really wrong with going out with a shotgun and killing a deer or whatever it is a person chooses to hunt? So said the Noda B'Yehuda, he says that it's simply not something that the children of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who are seeking to refine themselves, seeking to develop themselves, seeking to have a certain level of sensitivity towards God's creation of the world, for us to go out hunting. Is there a halakhic problem? No. But it, sure, it violates this idea of the Chinuch that the outer actions of a person affects the inner reality of a person.
Oh, I thought it was.
I remember a very beautiful idea that I heard from Aaron Lichtenstein and also by Moshe Feinstein about killing animals. I remember when I first heard this out of Aaron Lichtenstein, I remember my older children were young. We were living in Washington Heights, and in Washington Heights there's always a preponderance of pigeons. And it's hard to have a chamanis on a pigeon. They're not exactly the most beautiful or the clean animals. And my children would go running down the street into like a whole huddle of pigeons you know, screaming at the top of their lungs, and having the pigeon sort of fly off in what seemed to be an absolute state of fear. And it always seems to me there's just sort of something inhumane about that, something inappropriate about that, sort of, you know, terrifying these animals and getting pleasure from it. Kids who might go ahead and take some salt and put it on a slug and watch the slug, like, all, you know, crinkle up, and it might be an actual problem with Tzarbel Italian. But Ramosha Feinstein has a tshuva about using paper to catch flies. And using, like, sticky paper for that. And Rabbi Lichtenstein also has a discussion about stepping on insects.
That was Neil Watchman.
Where it's not really an issue of stepping on an insect. So if somebody, if I can just ask, if somebody does not have their phone on mute, if you could do so now, that would be great. Stepping on an insect, you know, it's not really considered to be killing, because killing is only when there's an animal that has, you know, blood, and the question, so is there a problem with killing an insect? So Ryan Lichtenstein said that, so there's really no issur of killing an insect. The question is it developing the proper sensitivity for a person, just as far as that, the actions, again, creating that inner world. And if you were going to identify really the purpose of the life of Torah, it's not just doing mitzvos by rote. It's not saying that I have to put on tefillin, and I have to do this, and I have to keep that, and I have to be kashrus. It's the whole inner world of a person that we're trying to develop and cultivate and refine, that beautiful inner world, that beautiful inner tapestry of a person. And every single thing we do in this world is developing for the good or developing for the bad, that inner world. You know, there's an amazing idea, and I'll conclude in just a moment, about the Ramban. And the Ramban has a parallel in modern-day history. But we know that in the beginning of Sefer Shmos, Paro did not start off telling the Mitzrim, throw the Jews into the river. Because the Mitzrim just would never have done it. It was that, who's this madman, who's this butcher, who's this, you know, person that's telling us to kill, you know, innocent babies. But Paro first told them, you know, let's enslave these people and let's give them work to do and have them do this and have them do that. And slowly, 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 one piece after another piece, what ended up happening was that every negative action the Mitzvah did, it further coarsened that inner life of who they were. I mean, they started off perhaps as decent people, but every negative, aggressive, dehumanizing act they did changed their inner world. I said the modern-day parallel, of course, is that if Hitler had come to power in 32, 33 and said, you know, let's build concentration camps, so the refined German people would have rebelled against it. But by the time all the laws were passed between 32 and then in Nuremberg and on and on and on, so by the time the final solution had been passed, so the inner world of the average German and the average member of the SS and the average German soldier had become so coarsened by every small or not so small action that had an impact on the inner life of a person. Now, what in the world does that have to do with football? So I think to some degree it just speaks to the question, not an issue of usur, that it's prohibited or it's mutter, but is the very act of playing football, where essentially you're trying to, you know, go after a person, hit a person as hard as you can, take a person out, you know, sort of gang tackling people, it needs and it requires a level of aggression. If a person does not have that level of aggression, I guess really depending on the position they're playing, they're simply not going to be successful. I mean, because it has to cultivate, the actions need to cultivate that inner level of aggression, and the inner level of aggression then fuels the outer actions. And the very nature of it is something that obviously, again, I am a football fan, I plan on seeing some of the Super Bowl later, but again, it sort of questions a little bit and brings to mind this issue of the outer actions fueling that inner life have an inner life and fueling at our actions. What does that have to do with us? But it has to do everything with us. It's not so much an issue of watching football or even playing, you know, a game of football here and there. It's a question of thinking about the full litany, the full array of the activities that we and our families are involved in, and asking ourselves, is every single act we're doing bringing us to a higher state of existence, bringing us closer to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, or is every action creating a different inner reality? And that's obviously something that we need to constantly be reflecting on. Mir Tshami, there next year, it's not before then, that we will discuss the other issue we mentioned, the halakhic issue of placing oneself in danger. I look forward to speaking at some point down the road. Everyone should have a wonderful night. Thank you for calling in. Look forward to learning in the future. Just to remind people, we have 7 minutes inspiration tomorrow at 12 o'clock for those who want to join us. And everyone should have a good night and kol tov. Take care.